On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, baseball gets a mixed bag of news, the football program gets a couple of new faces, and the softball team has quite the thrilling win. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 156 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And what's up, Gamecock Nation? How are we doing? How was your week? Hope it was a good one. I have had Morgan Wallen stuck in my head literally all week. Like, I'm not even joking, and I know this is not Gamecock related whatsoever, but I need to tell somebody, like, help, it's stuck in my head. I'm literally going to bed with last night in my head, wake up with it in my head. It's bonkers. I've never experienced anything like this. It's a good song, but I've listened to it about 40 times this week trying to get it out of my head. I mean, I don't know. He's been in the news with his voice and everything, like canceling shows. I guess that's why. I mean, as a guy who is prone to losing his voice, I can empathize with him. But I mean, come on. I don't know if y'all remember after the A&M game this past football season, I recorded a couple days later and I was still raspy. So I can definitely appreciate losing one's voice here. But nevertheless, let's get back on track here. Got a few things to review with y'all. Got some weekly updates here, and then we're going to dive into baseball. A lot of news coming out of the baseball program, sort of a mixed bag, one step forward, two steps back type of deal. But before we jump into that, you already know, trivia is back, as I said last episode, so let's see what we got today. All right, it's a piece of trivia for y'all. Gamecock soccer product Clint Mathis became the first USC player to be a first-round pick in the MLS. What team chose the midfielder with the number 6 overall pick in 1998? I actually think this might have been on this calendar last year. Dun-dun-dun-dun! The LA Galaxy. So, all right, 1998. Shout-out Clint Mathis, first-rounder for the Galaxy. I might check up on that after this episode here. See how his career turned out. Soccer is good at USC. You know, men's team, women's team. Our women's team was real good this past year. Men's team has history of success. I know Coach Tony Ahn is trying to put his own stamp on things. What is he, year two or three at this point? So yeah, Stone Stadium. Shout out Stone Stadium here. But let's look at some weekly updates from around USC athletics here. Starting with the women's golf team, they are headed to the national championships out in Greyhawk. So, huge congrats. Huge congrats. They've made it there a couple times in recent years. So, this is huge. They lit up Capstone for them. It was in the SEC tournament, like the regionals, how they do it. They had a late surge where they qualified after not really being in a position early on. So, the tournament will be next week. Best of luck to them. That is huge news. And then on Wednesday, softball, they were in the first matchup of the SEC tournament. They were a 10 seed, and they upset the 7 seed, Texas A&M, 1-0. It was this long weather delay at 0-0. And then they came back, and as they put on their Twitter, the rain never bothered us anyway, and they ended up winning 1-0. They are currently playing Georgia right now in the next round of the tournament. So sending good vibes that way to have a long and successful run in the SEC tournament. How fun would that be? And then out of the football program, couple of news here. Got a couple new faces coming our way, starting with the transfer commitment from offensive tackle Jackson Hughes from Charlotte. Charlotte University, whatever they call themselves, the 49ers. Jackson will be a preferred walk-on, but he's bringing size and experience in a big position of need for South Carolina. They were in the market for a tackle specifically just to build that depth, especially with the injury that we have with Jalen Nichols going down, but this is a good pickup. Like, I would not – don't bat an eye just because he's a preferred walk-on. You know, he is 6'6", 295. He has starting experience in the last two seasons. Last year, he started 11 games at left tackle for, if you'll remember, a Charlotte team that had a very good year. They were a record-setting passing team. So he has experience in that area. He has played left and right tackle. It's just overall a very nice addition for Lonnie Teasley. And again, at a critical position, you can't have enough depth at, right? You want to be able to rotate guys in. You want to be able to have guys who have experience in that room. God forbid you need to bump guys up and things like that. So I like this pickup. Also from the football team, huge news came out Thursday afternoon as the Gamecocks picked up a commitment from transfer edge rusher Jadeus Gear coming from Syracuse. Now, Gear is originally from South Carolina, from Anderson. He was under-recruited coming out of high school. I believe he was a three-star recruit. So he ends up in Syracuse, where freshman year, he didn't really play a whole heck of a lot. So he's a redshirt freshman last season. And he had a nice year, 29 tackles, 3.5 sacks, and a forced fumble in 12 games, played the whole year. So he has 3 years of eligibility left, and it's a nice pickup because when you think about it, if we had a player who was a redshirt freshman who had those numbers, we'd be excited about this guy taking a next step and saying this guy could become a top-tier talent with all that time. So Shane Beamer is hoping that he is that and more, right? You're bringing in someone to address a big area of need on this team, but also keeping an eye to the future. So just looking at the edge rushers right now, you're going to have presumably Jadeus Gear playing a lot of time. And then on the other side of things, you have Jordan Strawn. Now, we know he's working his way back from injury, but, you know, he has the experience. All indications are he's going to be 100% by the start of the season, but you got to assume there's going to be some ramp-up period. Week one against UNC, Jordan Strawn might not be 100% himself. He needs to know he can trust his knee. So if you give me a week or two of 80% of Jordan Strawn, and then Gear, who has Power 5 experience, success at the Power 5 experience in the ACC, that's serviceable. And then if you ramp up Jordan Strawn for the meat of the season, you can make that work, right? And now you're not having to rely on an edge rusher who is really an unknown. Like, there are some guys here who have potential. I mentioned Brian Thomas Jr. after the spring game. I think he has the potential. I mean, shoot, even a guy like Bam Martin Scott maybe could play a little edge, right? Like, there are guys here. But you needed someone with a little bit more experience. You didn't want to have to be reliant on someone who just has not played at the Power 5 level at all or very little. So this is a big-time pickup. The Gamecocks were in the market for a couple of edge rushers. This addresses that, and it puts my mind at ease. It puts my mind at ease, and if Gear can come in and produce like that, maybe even take another step up, that could be the difference maker, truly, in a game or two. I still would expect Shane Beamer and company to try and pull in a running back. I know we're in the running for a couple right now. If you can address those two areas of need, this team is looking nice. Obviously, you got to get those guys up to speed, but they're looking nice right now. So big time news from the football team this year, addressing a couple of big areas, especially from the edge rusher. And hey, gear rhymes with beer, so go ahead and crack you one, because that is a cause for a celebration. So welcome home to Jackson and Jadius. So now let's move on to baseball. Pain. Pain. It's like I picture that Stephen A. Smith meme where he's just looking out the window. I'm quite upset. Yeah, so the Gamecocks dropped the midweek game to North Florida 8-5. This was tough for a few reasons. But in the very late stages of the game, there was that long lightning delay. I think it was like the top of the ninth even where it was called, and it was just dragging out this dread. Like, it was a tough game, and you're into the ninth. Like, okay, maybe we can get something going here, get some magic in the ninth. And the lightning delay happened, and you're just like, my gosh. Like, I got to wait an hour plus to watch this team maybe lose now. It was tough. Things did start nice for Carolina as they got on the board right away from a Gavin Cassis double. But then North Florida just jumped all over the Gamecocks in the top of the third for five runs. Carolina was able to get three back in the bottom of the fourth, thanks to, in part, from a home run from Evan Stone. But, you know, ultimately, Carolina was just not able to get over the hump, and North Florida would add insurance later in the game. And it was frustrating, right? I mean, in multiple instances, South Carolina had the bases loaded and failed to cash in. It's just so frustrating of a game from that sense where, you know, there were rallies, you know, getting guys on base, a couple of good hits. You had a couple of innings where they did put up runs, but not being able to drive guys in from scoring position and to take advantage of the bases loaded situations was just tough. It was just tough to watch in a game where I felt like you really had to have. Like, I don't want to say the sky is falling because we lost to the Ospreys of North Florida. Like, I'm not saying that. But just from a morale standpoint, like, my God, you really wanted just a win. Get a little juice back. Right? And I mean, on top of that, this was another instance where we had Carolina pitchers giving up big innings. Dylan Eskew, he got the worst of it, allowing five runs and catching the lost. He was almost there. He was almost at two innings pitched with minimal damage, but just was not able to escape. But you had Austin Williamson allowing two runs, one of them earned. Cade Austin giving up one. So just again, not as crisp as we've seen. And it felt like it was a pretty good summary of what this team has gone through over the last 2 to 3 weeks or so, right? Where the offense was just not what we know it's capable of, where you saw glimpses of it. But then you also have a pitching staff that is seemingly regressing. I mean, for the most part of this year, we were singing the pitching, we're singing their praises. And it was a strength of this team. And they complemented each other very well. These last couple of weeks have been anything but. And from an outsider's point of view, it almost looks like they've changed the approach where it seems like they might be trying to like hit the corners, being a little bit more finesse, where it felt like earlier in the year they were just getting up there and saying, I'm going to just blow it by you. And I don't think there was a wholesale change or anything like that. But how do we get back to that, right? It just feels like it's almost a mentality type of deal. So very interesting to watch. But yeah, this game really did feel like it was a summary of what we've seen this team go through over the last couple of weeks here. Some player highlights from this game. You had Evan Stone, 1-for-4 with 3 RBI. Gavin Cassis, 2-for-5 with 1 RBI. And Carson Hornung, 2-for-4 with 1 RBI. So look, am I concerned about this? Am I concerned about the team? Yes. You know, I'm concerned. You can't have this snowball much longer. I think we're at 4 losses in a row, right? But, you know, this season also ends with a couple of big challenges. It's not like we get some easy series to end the year. So you have to nip it in the bud, right? Now, am I panicking or am I throwing away my hopes of a deep postseason run? No, I am not. This lineup, as I'm going to get to in a minute here, is going to be back to basically near full strength, which should help improve the defense as well, also allow guys to settle back in offensively, have a more normal balanced lineup. On the pitching side, though, I don't think there's some fairy godmother coming our way, guys. Like, there's not going to be this magical thing that just fixes it. So these guys on the staff need to get back to work and get to the basics quickly. Because up next for the Gamecocks, it doesn't get any easier. It's a weekend series at Arkansas. The Razorbacks are currently third in the country, sitting at 36-12 overall and 17-7 in the SEC. They are coming into this series after sweeping Mississippi State. And it's going to be a very, very interesting challenge for Carolina after the latest injury report has come out. So, going to unpack this with y'all. Talmadge Lecroy and Will Tippett, they are good to go. Will McGillis and Braylon Wimmer are making the trip and hopeful that they will play. So that's huge. Those four guys, that's huge news. Braylon Wimmer is an anchor for us. Experienced guy, tends to bat at the top of the lineup. Very big. Lecroy being 100% is also very good news, because that should put Moose back behind the plate. Will Tippett being back is good, right? He was only kind of banged up a little bit. Will McGillis, I mean, he got hurt weeks and weeks ago, like at the start of the season. So I would imagine it's going to be hard for him to bounce back. Maybe expect him to DH or pinch hit this series. I don't think you're going to see him playing a whole lot, but he needs to get some action. And he was someone that provided some pop, and we were all pretty excited for after the first couple of series. Now, with all that being said, there's a big however. Will Sanders has a slight lower body injury and will not make the trip. So it's literally one step forward, two steps back. Get some of your infielders back, your position players back, but you lose a starter pitcher. Meaning that your weekend rotation for South Carolina is Eli Jones is going Friday, Saturday is TBA, and Matthew Becker is going Sunday. So again, despite being more healthy on the position player front, you now have all three starters from the opening weekend are now not in the rotation this weekend. Jack Mahoney's healthy, but Mark Kingston said he's going to be a swing man. So he might start Saturday, but more likely going to come out of the bullpen at some point. So Saturday, if I'm guessing here, I'm going to say we see James Hicks go, maybe go try to go 3-4 innings. But nevertheless, this is rough. This is rough. Because it's a tease, right? We don't even get to see the team back. We've been saying for weeks now, just get healthy. Get healthy, we're going to be okay. Yeah, healthy now. And then Will Sanders has to miss a start. And Mahoney is being relegated to a swingman because his last couple of starts have not been good. So, look, maybe on the pitching front, this is a breather. And it's just, let's try to get right on the offensive side this series. And then try to come all together and put it all right at the end of the season. I don't know. But it's going to be a tough weekend. So my crow to the series here, it's just next man up. It has to be. Your backs are against the wall. You need to find a way to get some juice into that clubhouse. So basically, can you hit your way out of it? The guys who are listed in the rotation, no disrespect, like these are just not the regular starters. Matthew Becker, I like him, a big fan. But it's not the regular starting rotation, right? You're going to have to hit your way out of this, because I don't think we're going to be in like a 3-1 type of game. So it's very, very interesting. Got to find a way to be next man up. Also, another piece of news here on the injury front here. Eli Jurzenbeck, I don't think this has been officially stated yet, but it's out there. He's done for the year. He hurt his elbow. He's going to have to get surgery. There is a chance that he might have pitched his last pitch at USC, where I think his plan all along was to pitch 2 years, then try to enter his name in the draft. I guess with the surgery and recovery time, he's going to miss basically next year as well, and then he'll be on his way. So really, really stinks. I'm sure he's devastated. That's real crap news. So wish him nothing but the best here, and wishing nothing but the best for this whole team and everyone to get healthy there. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.